Well, it is Mother's Day, and that is one of the more important days in the Christian calendar. Our young people may be dismissed to children's church if you'd like. Mothers are important in many directions, many ways, and there are some statistics I have looked at and try to think about in terms of mother. Mothers have a greater impact on their children than anybody else in their lives. That's just a simple reality. And you can see it in numbers. Of rapists, almost 90% have had a bad or distorted relationship with their mother. There's something there, right? Of people who are successful, the majority have had what would be characterized as a positive or good relationship with their mother. Mothers have an impact, and that impact goes way beyond the life of the mother. It impacts children and grandchildren and so on and so forth. In fact, truth is, if you are fortunate enough to become a mother, you have inherited a job that is greater than you are, that is more important than anything else you will ever do in your life. Just raising your children in a proper, God-fearing manner is the most important thing that you can do. Sometimes I think we miss that. Sometimes we think, okay, we've had kids, and once we have them, we want to get rid of them. We want to go on our lives. We want to do what we want to do. And so it is important this morning for us to take time and look at mothers, the subject of mothers, and try to understand what a good mother is and what maybe a not so good mother is. Now, my title to the sermon this morning is Good Mom, Bad Mom. My wife didn't want to do that, so she just put good and bad on the slide. So you can add a little to that. Good mom, bad mom. Almost like good cop, bad cop. I had thought this morning of having a couple of women stand up as examples. I was going to have Miss Patsy stand up as an example of a good mom and maybe Becky stand up as bad mom, but I won't do that. I will avoid that. I guess I already have to a point, haven't I? I will pay for that later, I'm quite certain. It is important that we understand and recognize the value. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12 is our scripture. Who can find a virtuous woman? That is a question. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of our lives. We tend to think of all moms as virtuous, just by fact that they're mother. You know, they must be virtuous. That's mothers. But that's simply not the case. There are very good mothers, thankfully. Praise God, we have some good mothers. But there are also some very bad mothers. And we want to look at a couple of examples in the Bible. And I hope we can do this with an eye toward understanding what we ought to do, and specifically, ladies, what you ought to do as a mother and how important it is for you to be a mother. And Father, it's the same with you. We get to you in a month or so. We'll deal with Father's Day. Today's all about moms. First mother that we're going to look at is Moses' mother, a good mom. If you read Moses' mother in the book of Exodus, very beginning of the book of Exodus, she was in a time that was very difficult. Moses' mother gave birth to him at a time when the Pharaoh, the Egyptians, had decided that the children of Israel were multiplying and there were becoming too many of them. And so they decided we're going to limit or lessen their population. And so they attempted in a variety of means to reduce the number of Israelite women who were having children. And when that didn't work, they decided to just start killing them. And so when Moses' mother had him, she had to hide him. I cannot imagine living in a time and a place where you were afraid that your child was going to be killed. But that's exactly the circumstances that Moses' mother found herself in. She did her best to take care of the child. You know, the first thing a mother, a good mother, does is that she fights for her child, that she goes through whatever she needs to do to go to bat to give this child a chance at life. I don't understand, and I don't pretend to understand, how in our society today we seem to think it is okay if a young woman gets pregnant and doesn't want the child, just go have an abortion. The very first thing that a good mother does is she fights for the life of her child. And that's what Moses' mother did. She fought for his life. She hid him. She went to extraordinary measures. When that didn't work, he got to a point after about 90 days, she realized, I can't hide this child forever. Eventually, people are going to know that I have this child, and they will be after him. They'll want to kill him. God led her to a plan to build a basket to put the baby in and cover it in water repellent and pitch so that it would float. And she knew that Pharaoh's daughter bathed in the Nile River at a certain time every day in a certain place. And she went there and she put the child in the water in this basket so that Pharaoh's daughter would see the child. And her hope was that she would say, oh, like a puppy, oh, I want to take it home. And that's exactly what happened. But she didn't just take the child down there and leave it. She had her daughter go and watch to see what might happen. And so when Pharaoh's daughter saw the child and loved the child and wanted to take it home and basically said, I wish I had someone that could nurse this child, that could take care of it, the daughter said, I know a Hebrew woman that would be glad to do that very thing. And so she went and got her mother, and her mother was able to raise Moses, not only to keep him alive, but to raise him in the luxury of the king's castle. He had all of everything, the best of everything. You see, when we as people are willing to fight for our children, willing to literally fight for what we know is right, and we reach the point where we put them in God's hand, He makes a way and He works things out. God had plans for Moses. It wasn't just a child. This was the child who would lead the children of Israel out of 400 years of slavery. God planted Moses where he was and how he was so that he could live with the king's court, so that he would know the Egyptians, so that he would know the royalty. God was preparing Moses to lead his children Israel out of the bondage of slavery. Mothers, God gives you a child that isn't your child, that is God's child. Just as Moses was not his mother's child, he was God's child. And God is preparing that child for a great work. He is preparing that child to be something special. We may not understand it. We may not know what it is. God knows, and God sees, and He is able to deal with that and to take care of that child. A good mother loves their children. They fight for their children. They do everything to protect their children. And they also give their children to God. It's not my child, it's not your child, it's God's child. Hillary Clinton said children should belong to the state. They're actually the government's kids. No, they're not. They're God's children, and they are precious in His eyes. We need to understand and treat them as that special opportunity that we have to raise God's child. Okay, well, let's look at bad mom. Matthew chapter 14, verses 3 through 11. It's a little bit of reading, but bear with me. For Herod had laid hold on John the Baptist, and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the sake of the oath and them that which sat at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Okay, for a little context here, John the Baptist was a preacher called by God to spread the word and to prepare the way for Jesus' coming. Jesus said of John the Baptist, there has not been a greater person born of human beings than John the Baptist. He was a good man. He was a God-called man. He was full of the Spirit of God. And Herod, who was a kind of king, a ruler, was living with his brother's wife. He had taken his brother's wife and was sleeping with his brother's wife. John the Baptist told him plainly, it's not right. That is sin. And that fact that John called what they were doing out and said, this is sin, infuriated Herodias. So much so that she was so furious, she wanted to have him killed and determined that she would do that. Was she a bad mother? Absolutely. This was a woman who took her own daughter and so poisoned her daughter's mind that she had her daughter go dance before Herod and, let's be honest, she seduced Herod to the point that he said, I'll give you anything. And she said, I want John the Baptist's head on a charger. I want you to murder the best man ever born to human beings. I want you to kill him. Just to feed my ego, just to feed my grief, just to feed my anger. What kind of mother would teach a child to commit murder, much less to commit murder of a man who was completely innocent? This was a woman who taught her child to seduce the king in order to murder a good man. She was a wicked woman. Terribly wicked. I find some things around this story a bit interesting also. If you look at the church at that time, the doctors of the law, the lawyers, the high priest, the Pharisees, when Jesus came preaching, if you remember, they threw a fit because Jesus and his disciples walked through the fields of corn on the Sabbath and they picked fruit or they picked vegetables and ate them without washing their hands. And that was just an awful thing. And Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day and they were quick to jump out and say, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that kind of work on the Sabbath. But that group did not say a single thing to Herod. They didn't want to speak up when it was someone rich and powerful. They weren't saying that's sin. They much more preferred to have their kind of made-up sins. There are sins that are real sin, and there are things that are, I call them, made-up sins. And I know I'm wading off into deep water here, but it's something we need to address. There is sin, and there are things that we think of as sin. When I was a boy, we had a family lived in our neighborhood, and they were over at our house a lot, knew them well. And I think they were meant to be very good Christians. They were good Christian people. They would not allow a deck of playing cards in their house. See, that was sin. That's not sin, to have a deck of playing cards in your house. They would not even think about having a pair of dice in their house. That was sin. That's not sin. Those are things that we think of or that we have added on. And that was the problem with the Pharisees and the high priest and all of those. They had taken the laws and they had added to them their traditions, their ideas, their beliefs, what have you, over a period of years until they developed this thing that was just impossible for people to live with. Moms and dads, teach your children what real sin is and teach them to stay away from it. There are things that are sin. Recently, a couple of weeks ago, the United Methodist Church, I'm sure y'all are aware by now, voted to start ordaining LGBTQ people. That's sin. I'm sorry, that's sin. But let's don't just stop there. It is so easy for us to gripe about or complain about or point out someone else's sin. Just because someone sins differently than I do does not make them any better or worse. If you look at pornography on your telephone or your computer or your laptop, that's sin. It's not maybe, it's not kind of, it's not like having a deck of cards in your house. That's real sin. If you are living with someone you're not married to, that's sin. If you lie, that's sin. I have a client, we joke about him. Sometimes we say, you know, he lies when the truth would do better. And sometimes I think he does. I used to work with a guy that lied so much he didn't know what the truth was. If you are a liar, that's sin. If you flirt with the lady in the office or the lady down the street or whomever, or women the same way, that's sin. If you take things that do not belong to you, if you steal, that is sin. I had a friend, the church we used to go to, I liked the man. Everybody in the community knew him, though. If he came by your house and you had a tool or something laying out, he'd steal it. He would just pick it up and take off with it. We kind of joked about him, don't leave anything around where El can pick it up. It'll disappear. Well, you know, it's kind of humorous, but that's sin. Do not steal. Do not lie. I mean, these aren't hard things. And it makes a difference. You see, mom and dad, and in particular mom, you can have the greatest message in the world. You can beat the drum and you can say all kinds of good things. But when your children see you day in and day out committing sin, it has an impact on their life. And they are going to be affected. It is going to create something out of them. You will have the greatest impact on your children that anybody will ever have. Not me, not even the teachers at school. You know, we gripe a lot about teachers at school, and I know people who say, I wouldn't send my kids to public education, yada, 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 on and on and on. Teacher has your kid maybe 45 minutes a day. They're going to do a little bit. That child sees you every day, every day, every day, and they know what you are. I may not. I probably don't want to know, but your child knows. And what you do and how you live has a huge impact on what they become. So, okay, preacher, why you, I mean, it's Mother's Day, it's an up day. Why are you bringing us all down? Why do we have to talk about sin? Can't we just talk about roses and things that are pretty, et cetera, et cetera? Well, here's the point. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his Son into the world that it might be saved. God doesn't want us to be in sin. He doesn't want us to have these bad things going on in our life. He wants to fix the problem. And the truth is, no matter what the problem is, God can fix it. If you and I are willing, we can fix the issues in our life. And it's not just you, it's me. Do everything in your power to teach your child about Jesus. We recently went with some other people here to an event for True Options, a pregnancy care center, and the speaker was a very good speaker. One of the things he said, though, stuck with me, and it's kind of echoed in my mind ever since. He said, when I was a child, I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church every time the doors were open. More people need to have that kind of drug problem, right? I know it's not convenient. Fuss with the hair. Go through all of the whole deal. Whatever it takes, take those babies to church because Jesus is there and he'll meet them there. I don't know what's going on in your life. As I say, I don't want to know. I don't know what sins you may be involved in, and I don't want to know. But I know this. Whatever is going on in our lives, God wants to fix it. He wants to make it right. He wants to build us up. He wants to make us good people. God wants people who have Moses's for their children, not people who have Herodias's daughter. He wants people who are wholesome and loving and caring and do the right thing. He doesn't want people who are wicked and who are evil and who do evil. It will matter. Our scripture said, who can find a virtuous woman? That's a question. It's not an easy thing to do. I can't. I didn't know when I married Becky that I was marrying a virtuous woman. I'll be honest with you. I thought maybe. She played the piano. She was pretty, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't realize, though, that I was marrying a good woman. I don't even know that she understood that she was a good woman. See, it happened along the line as we grew up. She went to church, and she took her kids to church because that's the way her mama had done. Now, her mother and I sometimes had differences. In fact, she's called me a lot of different things, from an animal to various other things. But I'll tell you something. Maddie Schaefer took her kids to church every time the door was open. And it wasn't, do you want to go, would you like to go? And the churches that they went to weren't the churches that had, you know, video games and all of these great things. And I'm not knocking that. There are a lot of kids who go to church now and they walk in and it's just, wow, it's like walking into Disney World. No, they went to churches where they heard the gospel preached. And they had to sit still and they had to listen. That's what God wants of us as people. Take your children to church. Teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get it into them every day, every day, every day. And live it in front of them. If you do that, if you will do that, God will meet you. And he will take it from there. Just like Moses' mother, when she had done all she could do, she had to turn Moses over to God. If you will do everything that you possibly can to raise your children as Christian people, then trust God. Turn it over to him and say, Lord, they're yours. And he'll meet you there. He will take care of you. He will take care of your children. If you don't, it will be a very painful thing. Please stand. This morning, if you need to pray about anything, these altars are open. As we leave here today, I pray that you go out. If your mother is still alive, give her a call. I wish I could call mine. Talk to them and let them know that you love them.